A kitchen table is a great place to gather. Thinking back over the years, all my years of childhood and our family, many precious memories linger around the kitchen table. Mealtime would not be the same without a table prepared with good food and the family gathered together around the table. It is always nice to have decorations and a kitchen that is in order. That takes work and time. But there's something special and beautiful about a kitchen table and gathering around it and enjoying meals together. Sitting down to eat together is something many families are not familiar with. Believe it or not, it's a great ministry for all of us to invite people to your kitchen table. We've had many invitations, and we have each other for meals, and I appreciate that. We're going to have a fellowship meal today. We're going to gather around the table. And it is a ministry because we've had that opportunity to have people sit at our table that experience something they've never experienced before. Good cooking and good food are so much better than fast food. Canning and filling the freezers are a blessing to have preparations for the year, and It's a very much a part of our culture and tradition, and it's good. I wouldn't want to give it up. It's not gospel. It's not going to get you to heaven. Don't believe that I'm going to go there. But it's good. I hope you all agree. It's good. And I wish everyone could experience that. This morning I'm going to talk about God's table is even better. And after 20 years of ministry, this is the first time I'm quite sure that I'm preaching about this from a very familiar text that all of us can hopefully quote by memory, Psalm 23. One of the richest psalms there is. And there's a reason why many of us memorize Psalm 23, because it is filled with truth. It is filled with, it's written by David, who out of his experience writes and pens this psalm. And it is here for us to enjoy. And most of you, I think, know the verse, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." So I'm going to have you all stand, and we're going to read the Lord's, or the Psalm 23, not the Lord's Prayer, the Psalm 23 together by memory. And I have my Bible here, so close your Bibles. I'll keep mine in case I get distracted. And it's okay if you don't know it by memory. We're going to quote it together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be seated. That was a lot. Just the fact of the Lord is my shepherd, and many people can just follow through, I shall not want. David, of course, knew all about shepherding and being a shepherd. And we're going through Samuel, and we'll read about David's story. I just did that this week. And what a man of God he was. He knew what it's like to watch for sheep. And he went before Saul and Goliath, and all the people, the two armies were in the mountains there and the valley between them, and all of Israel was afraid, and they were going back at the presence of Goliath. And David came out, and he went before Saul, and he said, I'm a shepherd. I know what it's like to see a sheep caught by a bear and a lion, and I take my sling, and I would have loved to see him use that sling. Only a boy named David, we sing that, and he knew about shepherding. And he could take a stone and put it in a sling, and he could hit. Many of us, with archery season coming up, hopefully we're that good with our bow and arrows and everything. I wish I was that good. But he could use his sling, and he cared about the sheep. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He watches for me better than that. The Lord is a good shepherd, and he cares and lays down his life for the sheep. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And you picture the green pastures. He makes me to lie down. Sometimes we need the Lord to just say, lay down here for a while. It's been pretty dry. It's pretty rough out there. And sometimes you think about alfalfa fields this deep and just lush green pastures. And here we are in this all the time. No, 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 no. Go to Israel and you'll have a totally different picture. Barren hills where nothing is there, and you're going through the hills where there's no grass and there's nothing and it's dry. And suddenly you come to a green, lush pasture. The shepherd leads you there. And I believe that's a picture of our life. He makes me lie down every now and then. The Lord says, you know, you need this pasture for a while. Lay down here and enjoy it. Then go out again for another day. Come back to the pasture. That's a picture of the Christian life and a shepherd leading us. And beside the still waters, he restores my soul. Any of you here feel like you need some restoration, some restoring? He does that. This is all the shepherd. And he'll lead you in paths of righteousness. He'll take you out of the world of sin. He'll get rid of the worldliness in your heart. And he'll lead you in paths that are right. He'll lead you in the path that lead towards God. He'll lead you in the path that leads you towards heaven. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's not going to lead you into sin. He's going to pull you out of sin. He's going to get you closer to God. That's the shepherd if we follow him. And then the valley of the shadow of death. There's so many yea those. Yea though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, this can mean physical death, or it can mean a death of a relationship. It can be a disappointment, a setback in your life, something that's extremely difficult. Yea though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is just good, and we need to hear this. This is our shepherd, and this is the Christian life. For you, thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff. There's another. Yeah, he has a rod and he has a staff. You know, the staff, he leads you and pokes you and does this to that. And the rod, sometimes he needs to give you a good beating. We don't like the rod, but the Lord Jesus has a rod, and he uses the rod. The chastisement of the Lord is real, but it's for our good. And now we get to the table. I just want to whet your appetite again to just meditate upon this. I just went through it very fast, but we're going to focus on the table this morning. He says he prepares a table before me in the presence of his enemy. So that in the presence of mine enemies, and he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The table is prepared. And I love this picture. And that's why I started with a picture of a kitchen table. And my experience and so many pleasant memories around the table. And this afternoon, we're all going to sit around tables, Lord willing, and enjoy a meal together. But this table is a table for two. It's a table prepared for you. He prepares it. The Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, prepares a table for everyone in the world. And it's there. And he invites us to come and sit down with him. Sit down at the table of God and enjoy the spiritual blessings that are there. I like that picture. There's a table prepared. It's in the presence of mine enemies. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to look at Satan's table. He has a table there right side alongside as well. We have two tables that we can choose to sit down at. And God is looking for a relationship. God wants us to experience the fullness of the spiritual life. And God wants us to be in him. God wants us to experience the blessings at this table. And then we're going to end with looking forward. We're going to end up in heaven where he has a table. He's getting ready. That's going to be an amazing banquet hall. We're going to end there. And we're preparing ourselves for that. So God prepares a table. The Lord Jesus prepares a table before me, in the presence of mine enemies. So there's this table that is for two, and it's a picture of a relationship with God and what God really wants. He doesn't force this upon anyone. He doesn't force people to this table, but he sets it before us. He sets it before the world, and he says to everyone, come, sit down. Let's enjoy this table together. And I wish I could set up a little table here and just fill it with good food and just sit down and just eat. For an object lesson, I didn't think I should do that because I wouldn't be hungry for the fellowship meal. But I believe that would give us a picture. I want a picture in your mind of what this looks like and what God is longing to bring to each one of us. It's a picture of fellowship. The fellowship that Adam and Eve had in the garden before sin came. That's a beautiful picture as well. Not necessarily a table, but I believe it's similar, where God had fellowship and there was a sharing together in the garden. God came walking in the garden and, how you doing, Glendon? How was your day? Anything I can do for you this morning? And he just had a relationship that was real. God was there and there was fellowship. And that is restored in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want to picture, there's so many things we could bring out that our experiences at the table of God, this table that is prepared. Fellowship restored. God wants to talk with you and walk with you, and he wants to be involved in your life. He wants a place in your heart, and he wants to be a loving God and experience life together. A relationship is what God is longing for. He created us for relationships. Sin brought about broken relationships, but Jesus Christ is about restoring relationships and bringing restoration and a relationship. Forgiveness of sins is another experience at this table where we can experience our sins forgiven, washed away, and they no longer stand against us. Forgiveness of sins is a great gift that the Lord offers to everyone who ever comes to him in repentance and faith. Grace and power or at this table. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings that the Lord brings. And I believe that's what is in focus here. It's not that David literally sat down at a table with the Lord, but David is drawing a picture here of a table that God has prepared for us. And he says two things. He says, my cup runs over. So I think that is an experience that a person who is at the table of God and experiencing God in their life, this is a picture. Your cup's running over. There's more than enough. It's always running over. So you have a cup that's just overflowing. There's plenty of grace and there's plenty of mercy and there's plenty of goodness. We need to discipline ourselves eating at the kitchen table, that we don't eat too much. If there's a smorgasbord or lots of good food, we have to just take portions that are sufficient for us to eat. But this picture here, David says, my cup is running over. So it's always full, and God's grace is sufficient for everything that we go through. I don't know if you feel that way this morning, that your cup is running over. Is that a picture of your experience at the table of God? Where you're experiencing the green pastures, you're experiencing the still waters, you're experiencing the restoration and the restoring of your life, the spiritual life begins to flow. You're experiencing paths of righteousness where God is pulling you out of the world and out of sin and leading you into paths of righteousness. You're experiencing His presence, and it's like a cup that's overflowing. It's just there, more than enough. And I believe we'd all have to humbly confess, maybe that's not our experience all the time. And I believe the Lord understands. It's not anything that He is falling short in, it's us. There are times when we are distracted. There are times when we take our focus off of the Lord. There's times when we wander out into the world. And there's times when we just drift away from the Lord. And we are not experiencing this fullness of God, this cup that is full and running over. And then verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I like that picture as well at the table. Goodness and mercy are following you. Wherever you go, whatever your experience is in life, whatever setbacks you have, whatever happens, whoever hurts you, whatever it is, goodness and mercy are following you. What a good experience to have, where you are experiencing goodness and mercy just following you, and you end up in heaven. Now, I just like that picture. So the prepared table is for two, and I also believe there is a principle here that we as a church, we understand the church to be a body. So it's not one member, but it's one body. Many members in one body. So there is things we experience in church life that is like a table where we come together on a corporate level. I think we need to maintain our individual relationship with God, but also on a church level where we're a body and we're experiencing this together. And we all together come to the table of God. And we all grow together. We all hurt together. We all run together. And all of these things we're doing together. God did not make us to run alone. It's what I tell people. You need to surround yourself with the people of God and the people you want to be. And I think there's a principle there as well. Second point is this table is in the presence of his enemies. Now, if anybody could speak about enemies, it was David. Samuel, 1 Samuel, we're reading about Saul. How Saul and David were friends, and then Saul turned into his enemy. I just read it this week and tried to live through this experience where uh, a spear comes across the room and right at you, and you just duck away and it goes into the wall. I've never had anything like that. Or somebody pulls up a gun and shoots at you and it just misses. Kind of grazed your ear a little bit. And some people have shared experiences like that. But David could write from experiences like this. He had enemies all around. Enemies, those out to kill him, those against him, those that made it hard for him. Enemies, enemies, enemies. David wrote from experience. And you could read some of the Psalms and we could hear the cry of his heart. He was almost at the place of giving up at times because of his enemies. And brothers and sisters, the church needs to be aware that there are many enemies in the world, and enemies of Jesus Christ and enemies of the cross. It's getting worse and worse, and we need to prepare ourselves when Christianity is no longer popular. And I don't know if any of us can write from experience and talk from experience. What would we do when a spear comes at us? What would we do when we had the chance, as David did, to take his life? He was sleeping and he went and cut off a little bit of his robe. Could have took his life. He had it within him. Surrounded by enemies, and sometimes there's many people that get the idea that when you receive Jesus Christ, he's going to wipe all your enemies away and he's going to kill them and wipe them out, and you and me and Jesus and all of us go together through this life without any enemies, because they need to come up against our Lord Jesus Christ. Totally different picture in this psalm. This table is so beautiful. But I want you to picture this table set right in the presence of all your enemies. All those that are out to get you. All those that want to kill you. All those that want to stop the Church of Jesus Christ. All those that are hurting you. All of your enemies. God says, I want you to sit down at my table, and I'm going to put this table right with all the enemies. And we're together going to face the enemies. I got to take them away. But I'm going to provide. Your cup's going to run over right in the presence of all your enemies. Wow. You know, I know I'm preaching above my experience. I know there's many enemies that I've faced threats, and I've faced false attacks and many things that I've experienced in my time. And I didn't always just clap my hands and say, praise be to God. I'm going to sit down at this table and me and my Jesus are going to let them kill me. Jesus got me. But I see here that God has you covered, and God is sovereign. He allows us to go through experiences in life that are difficult. But God has you covered. I think of certain examples where God opened up people's eyes to see the angelic realm all around them. Some people have had visions and experiences where they had their eyes open up to see the angels and the angelic realm all around you. And I would I wouldn't really like to see. I would like to see the good side. And the things that I picture are around our homes, just angels from God, just guarding. I don't know if I'm right in this, and I've never seen them, but this is what I picture. Those who are at the table of God, he's got your back. There's an angelic realm that's much stronger on God's side than Satan's side. So I like to picture when we're in Christ Jesus and we're in his will, there's enemies all around us. There's arrows flying all around us, but God's army is there. We're in the middle of God's army and Satan's army. There is a war going on, and it is real. But God's got us. We can go out into this world. We can go out into the battle. We can go out into the fields. We can go out into the dark places of the world. And you go into the dark places of the world, the unreached parts of the world, and the battle intensifies. Enemies are all around who hate God. And so what I want to impress upon all of our hearts and minds is that, yes, we're in Christ Jesus. This table is in a battlefield. We got the power of God in us. We got the Lord on our side. And God will deal with the enemies one day. But our cup is running over in this setting. I don't know how many of you believe that in this setting that I painted before you, your cup can run over. And we might all struggle a little bit to come to believe that, but that's what the Psalm David is saying. I believe I'm interpreting the scriptures right. David experienced it all, and he says, you know, the Lord's with me. Now I want to just talk a little bit about Satan's table. So now you want to focus to the dark side. And there's Satan can't get to God's table. He knows that. At the cross, Jesus gave Satan, the devil, the death blow. He destroyed the works of the devil. He's defeated this morning. I encourage all of you to go claim the prize because the battle has been won. Well, Satan thought he was killing the Son of God. He was fulfilling redemption's plan. As Jesus died, Satan stepped back, a loser, defeated at the cross. That was a death blow that will not be reversed. And we are on the winning side. So Satan will not come up to this table, but he sets another table beside. And here we are in this battle. And I think this is where we face the greatest temptation. You know, Satan doesn't come up with us many times with a pitchfork and long horns and everything. The most eerie setting. He comes up with things that look good and feel good and sound right. Now, this table's good. It's gonna feel good. It's gonna be the answer. And he lies and he lies and he lies because he's the father of lies. And there's so many examples we could give and I could share this morning about how we sit down at Satan's table. Leaving the best table. We believe some of his lies. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. Everybody's against me. No one loves me. He has a lot of sins that appeal to the flesh that are right before you. So many examples we could give of Satan's table. He kills, steals, and destroys. He's out to harm you. He's out to rob this abundant life, this table experience, this fellowship with God, this relationship. He's out to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. You know, the devil comes in two forms that we read about in the Bible, as a roaring lion, and he also comes as an angel of light. And there's many ministers, his ministers that come as angels of light as well. It looks right and it sounds right, but it's not. And that's the devil. So don't sit down at his table. Don't give in. And if you're facing some enemies, bring them to the Lord. And remember, God wants the best for us. Now I'm going to close with taking a trip to heaven. By faith, we're going to read about it in the Bible, but God has a table that he is preparing. And David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I believe he was looking forward to this time when all the family of God will gather together. In John 14, Jesus wrote about this and talked about this. John wrote about it. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Jesus is preparing a place. We can talk about the many mansions or the many rooms. We could talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's so many places we could go. Revelation 19, it does speak about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Ephesians 1:10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. And that's enough for me. In the fullness of time, when the time is right, and we think it's getting closer, and it's getting closer. We don't know the time or the day or the hour, but God does. Only the Father knows that time. And there is a time coming when all will gather together. What an experience that will be. Moses and Elijah, John the Baptist, and all the great heroes of faith, I want to go meet them and give them a hug and say, "Praise be to God, we're here." That's coming, and it will happen. Today, we're in the battle, and we want to be faithful to the Lord. Today we want to experience God and His table here, but I believe that He's preparing a great banquet hall, and I'm going to turn close with Luke chapter 12, verse 35. I love this picture as well. With these verses, Luke 12, 35 to 37, it says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Could keep reading on there about the second watch or the third watch, but the important part is, in these verses here, is that we're to have our loins girt about and our lights burning, our lamps lit and burning. Loins girt about has a picture of someone who's ready to run, ready to leave. Actually looking forward to leave. So when he comes, and the Jewish wedding comes into focus here. In Jewish weddings, they were quite different than today, where the marriage began with a marriage contract, and the bride was left back home preparing for the great wedding day, The bridegroom, went with his father to prepare a place. And when the father said, "It's all prepared and ready," there were people back home with the bride ready to go. They didn't have text messaging and Facebook and all of that as we have today. But the father was the one who would say to his son, "Go get your bride. Everything's ready and all the preparations are ready. Go get your bride." And they're all back home here, waiting and ready and prepared. So that's what this text Jesus is saying. It's going to be like that. That's how it'll be. There'll be no time. It'll come when the Father says the time is right. And we want to be like those that, when He comes and knocks, we're right ready to go. We have an account of the 10 virgins that we know very well. 5 were ready, and five gave up and went back into the world of sin. Five had their lamps burning, had oil in their lamps, and five did not. And when the Lord came and knocked, the time was there. There was no time. And he says, what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch. Be ready so that you can be those that are ready to go. And it says that Jesus will gird himself or dress himself in such a way to serve us. Now, that humbles me to think about that, but it's true. Jesus will dress himself and get him ready to serve. And it says that we all will sit down, or some versions say recline at his table. This great banquet hall, the family will gather together and we'll recline at the table, and Jesus will begin to serve us. That will be a climax. And I want to encourage all of you to let your imagination run. We don't have a lot of description, but I picture good decorations. I picture music of heaven. I picture good food in abundance. I don't know if there'll be a limit to what we can eat, but I just can't wait where Jesus will come and begin to serve us and give us the best food. And we'll hear the music of heaven and we'll experience forever and ever and ever life in the presence of Jesus and God. That's the table that's going to be real. That's the table that I chose to end with in this sermon. So in conclusion, God's table is prepared today. And I want you to just be touched by this psalm of David. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The invitation goes out. If anyone thirsts, come. If you want this experience, just come. Bring it all there. Bring it all. And sit down at the table of God now. And make sure you avoid the devil's table. Your enemies and God's enemies are not taken away now. We're living in times where that could intensify. Those that are out to get you, those that are out to stop the church, those who hate God will also hate you, those who persecute you. Jesus said, rejoice, because there's coming rewards. If you experience that, your table is right in the middle of all of that. God doesn't take that away. But he says, get ready. When you get to heaven, there's going to be rewards flowing into your life that you cannot even imagine. So, sit at the table with enemies all around and be faithful to God. The marriage supper of the Lamb one day will come, and my heart is that all of us could be there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the psalm that David penned out of his experiences. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not want. Everything is there. He said, my cup runs over. And this table is prepared. He experienced it, and we can experience it today. And God, I pray that you'd encourage the church this morning. Wherever we're at in our lives, I pray that all of us would run to the table, sit down and live our lives at the table of God. And we will give you all the honor and glory for what you do in our lives. And look forward to meeting you in heaven someday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.